Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Welcome to the 50th annual Around the NFL Fantasy Extravaganza with special guests, the Big Fish, Evan Silva, Mike Florio, and Marcus Grant of NFL Fantasy Live.
Yeah!
Matt Harmon. Greg Brick by Brick Rosenthal.
Hell yeah!
Roto Pat, Patrick Daugherty. And also Mark is here. I'm Dan Hansis.
That's predictable.
And now your host and two-time League of Record champion, Dan Hansis. Thank you, me. You have raw, carnal charisma. Welcome, yes, to the 51st annual Around the NFL Fantasy Extravaganza. Yes, excitement is in the air. It's the final week of August, which means your fantasy football draft is right around the corner, or it should be. We are here to ensure that by the end of this episode, there's only one thing left to do. Just like Jake Taylor said in Major League, win the whole thing.
Whoa.
Sitting to my left, he's famously put in the work to make Triple G his nickname of record. But to me, and for the purposes of today's show, he's Triple B, Brick by Brick Rosenthal. Greg, fantasy is a life you left behind, but I know it's still inside you.
Well, I left behind to come here with you and make a new life. Daddy's happy.
Second marriages with Greg Rosenthal.
But a new generation's starting. Like, my son is starting to get into fantasy, and that's how you build a legacy, the next generation.
And sitting to Triple B's left is a man who risked his life on the fantasy corner for years, but now calls the safe confines of the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio his home. He's on the show today. It's Mark Sessler. Mark, butterflies?
Oh, absolutely, because I think, you know, from a listener's standpoint, this is a signature, perhaps the biggest show of the year for many people, because it involves their money if they follow our advice, and then we're hooked to their earnings.
So how does it? But a little weird, biggest show of the year, and yet your role is always a little.
I think Dan obviously enjoyed writing the intro to the show there, and I'm not surprised by how I was treated within the intro.
He loved writing, oozing with charisma.
Right. I mean, it's sort of like self fantasy. It's just
like,
unfurling.
Okay. We know how he sees himself.
yes, this is. You know, they say don't mess with other people's money. That's what the show is about for us. We're messing with your money, but we're not messing with it. We're protecting it. We're taking that investment that, you know, off the books, not anything of issue with Uncle Sam investment in your league. Maybe the investment is just for fun. I don't know what you're doing in your league, if that's the case. And we're going to turn that into a profit. If you listen to our guests, because we have, as you heard in the intro, with that raw bursting charisma, carnal sexuality from our host, narrator, this is going to be what?
Oh, that's you.
Is this going to continue all show?
We have a who's who. And because we have so many great guests, we can't waste any more time. This is the fantasy. This is the 52nd fantasy extravaganza. It's time to welcome in our first guest. He's a man who used to be a colleague of ours, but now he's doing his own thing. He's killing it. He's got his own website, Reception Perception. He knows all fantasy ball. We're going to talk wide receivers with him because that makes sense. Bring in Matt Harmon. Welcome, Matt Harmon. Unbelievable.
There he is. There he is. Oh, he's looking swole, newly married. He always spent a lot of money on his hair, and he still, you can tell it's looking good. It's a challenger to what's going on with Dan.
No, I'll say this, boys. This is probably the first time all over the last 2 months I've done my hair.
Oh, wow.
The hair is over. I'm a hat guy now.
Oh, you're into the hat realm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you've had a two-month-long hat head. That's concerning. I mean, you're married now.
Yes. How is married life? I know we see each other down by the sea from time to time, and it seems like you're very happy and a lucky man. How are you feeling?
I'm the luckiest. Things are great. She is the best person on planet Earth, very supportive of
look at that.
The absurd amount of time I put into the wide receiver game. So that was kind of the thing, right? Like if somebody was going to marry me, they've got to understand or try to understand the whole fantasy thing and the reception perception thing.
Yes.
That's a lot to juggle.
Right, so you're into receivers. We're going to talk receivers. You have the site reception perception. We're going to talk more fantasy. But what some people don't know, and maybe even you guys forgot about this.
Test us.
Is that Matt Harmon was on our show one time before, but it wasn't in the studio, and it wasn't as a member of NFL Media. It was as a call-in contestant on one of the very first episodes of Win Wes's Toaster back in 2013.
Wow.
Justin,
really?
let's listen to this.
Do we have someone on the line that could take Wes on?
We do, and let me tell you that I screened this person.
K-Rich.
He was pretty darn good, Wes, so I wouldn't be so confident. I know you did your studying, but be prepared for a good
match.
Is this
the first radio telecast?
Right. Now on the phone is a true contender, Matt Harmon. Beware.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, Matt.
Matt Harmon.
How you doing?
How you doing? Welcome to the Around the League podcast.
Happy to be here.
Different
Where are you
name.
From, Matt?
I am from Virginia. Lynchburg, right now, to be exact.
Who's your team?
That's a complicated question.
That's 5 out of 6.
Blew it.
Here's after the show.
For Matt, Wes, this was a big day for Chris Wessling.
Yes, it was.
Your victory speech. Go ahead.
Well, you know what? The toaster is mine. I'm keeping it. I've earned it, and no one else can have it.
Matt, whoa, what is this? Seduction Wednesday?
Some toaster love for you.
Oh, I like that.
Wow. Unbelievable. And, you know, Chris Wessling, round of applause for, you know, always defending that title with honor. And even when he lost the toaster, Wes was a man of integrity. Matt, that is amazing. I had no idea.
Yeah, I was a huge fan of the show at the time and a huge fan of Wes specifically. Sorry, guys. I mean, you're
all
right, too. But, yeah, that was awesome. I mean, I was so geeked about that. So being able to hear it now, it's pretty cool.
Re-listening to it was amazing. That was our first season. That was 2013. Your Panthers, I think, were the actual team of ATL. We had a different name as a podcast. And it was a controversial episode because we had on the guy who we thought had beat him. And the judge realized after the fact that the judge had made a mistake. It was,
wow, what a moment.
It was back in history. But you got rocked.
And 3 out of 5.
Okay.
That's better than
5
a lot
to 3.
Of the Ham and Eggers that would come on and get 0 or 1. You get 3 is not
that's
bad.
That's very good.
The goal was to get from Win Wes's Toaster to this moment now.
It's
so I think in the long
run. It's kind of amazing. It's literally 9 years ago. It's really insane.
And here we are now entering the 2022 season. And Matt, the wide receiver group for fantasy heads out there, last year, people that drafted Cooper Kupp, and I feel like Kupp is where he got to start on some level because what Kupp did last year, winning the Triple Crown, yards, catches, touchdowns, for a guy that had essentially been like a 1,000-yard receiver but not a super-duper star, he's going to go very high in drafts, obviously. Two-part question. One, do you feel comfortable saying that's kind of close to his baseline at this point in his career or will be an outlier? And two, is there someone else out there who has established themselves as a playmaker but you see can win leagues and be the new Cooper Kupp in 2022?
I think that's like the biggest question in all of fantasy this year is who's going to be that like next version of Cooper Kupp. I think when you look back at Cooper Kupp, this is probably going to be an outlier year. Like, how many times is somebody really going to win the Triple Crown twice? Probably not going to happen. But I love the Cooper Kupp example because he's a guy who had a resume, like you said, and in reception perception, he'd always been one of the best zone-beating receivers in the entire NFL. And, you know, he's got the most hyper-unique role, too. So I think you can – like, he doesn't go out there and do, like, what Stephon Diggs does or something like that, like line up on the outside against press coverage, against man coverage, and win on a route-by-route basis. He's schemed into a lot of favorable situations. Mm. And I think you kind of – if you want to start – with, like, who's the next Cooper Kupp, you kind of look at those other big slot receivers. I think one guy who is like, boring now at this point, I think Juju Smith-Schuster has kind of gone from one of being the most overrated receivers in the NFL to one of the most underrated receivers in the NFL. And if you look at just his profile compared to Cooper Kupp, big slot receiver, zone beater, and now he's gotten probably an even – bigger quarterback upgrade than Jared Goff to Matthew Stafford, like the ghost of Ben Roethlisberger to Patrick Mahomes is a pretty huge upgrade. But if I want to be like exciting, though, I think the guy who takes the step into, Dan, to steal your phrase, the superstar club, mm-hmm. I think it's Michael Pittman this year for sure. I mean, he's going to go high. Okay. I've got him ranked as a top 10 receiver, so like I'm already kind of ranking him as if he's made that jump. But I mean, this guy is so good. I think his game reminds me – people kind of feel like Michael Pittman – is like a jump ball receiver, but I kind of view him more as like a Keenan Allen, Allen Robinson hybrid, like a slasher. He can definitely do that type of stuff, like go down the field and win contested, but he can also separate at all three levels. And playing with a quarterback like Matt Ryan, that's a much better fit than Carson Wentz.
To me, Chase would be like the answer to your specific question. Just because like he's right there with Randy Moss is like the best rookie receiver.
Right.
Ever.
No, what you're saying is true, but I'm saying the guy that's like you take him in the second or third round and all of a sudden he's winning leagues for you because he's a top three player.
One thing I was surprised looking at it, and I guess this is a trend every year in fantasy, but especially now more than ever, it's like Matt was ahead of the game. I feel like this is a receiver league. Like you see it with the money that's being paid, and you just see it year after year. There's so much depth at receiver, but the top like five guys especially at wideout to me are such incredibly safe bets.
Yeah.
Justin Jefferson and Chase, and I'd throw Diggs and Adams in there that like I would rather have them than maybe any receiver. Any running back rather. And definitely for me, any running back maybe other than Jonathan Taylor. Maybe I would throw Dalvin Cook and Kamara in there, but those guys are going later in drafts and like man, when you're drafting early, if you're getting a point per reception, all those guys I'd rather have than these running backs.
Yeah. I like to think I was ahead of the curve. I maybe just got lucky. Like when I was doing the Win West's Toaster
now
thing.
You saw all this coming.
In the background, yeah, I'm charting routes and all that for reception perception. So it was about the same time. But, yeah, no, I'm with you, Greg. I think all those guys are just rock solid.
It's like
bets.
They're getting taken around the same time that DeAndre Swift and – even I'd throw Henry in that mix or like Fournette and Javonte Williams are somehow in the same round as some of these guys, which to me, it boggles the mind. Like take the easy like home run, which is these guys early.
What do you do, you know, with the quarterback changes around the league? Like you've got Jerry Jeudy, who we've seen the potential and he's draft positioned a certain thing, but there's an upgrade in theory because of Russell Wilson and Courtland Sutton. It sounds like is has great chemistry with Russell Wilson. But then the flip side, like a DK Metcalf, who is a dominant wideout, but stuck in purgatory based on what they're probably going to get at quarterback. Do you just, for your own drafting, would you knock, people are going to want to take DK Metcalf, but what happens to him in that environment?
Yeah, it's a great question. And this year, you can't really do the old thing of like, well, you know, a guy changes teams. You can't really trust fantasy receivers who change teams. Good luck with that if you try to take that strategy, right? Because there's been so much receiver movement and quarterback movement too. Over at Yahoo, like the top 40 receivers in ADP, 19 of them have new quarterbacks. I mean, some of these guys, like Ayuk and Debo, caught passes from Trey Lance, but they're not, you know, used to starting with him for the full season. So you can't really get away with that. I mean, the Seahawks example specifically, it's so tough because, yeah, I mean, Metcalf and Lockett too. By the way, I don't understand the huge gap between DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett in terms of an ADP perspective because if you look at the games that Geno Smith started last year, he actually had a higher target share, did Tyler Lockett, than DK Metcalf. And, I mean, I've been in the bag for Tyler Lockett for many years.
They're both pretty buried. Like, I feel like there's a lot of people reacting to the quarterback situation. Like, you mentioned A.J. Brown. Like, both Eagles seem insanely low to me in terms of A.J. Brown could be a top six or seven fantasy receiver. And Devontae Smith, I would expect to do better. But I think people just look at Jalen Hurts or they look at Trey Lance when it comes to Ayuk, and they get a little scared. I'm not as scared. I like all those guys.
I think at receiver, you can bet on talent more than any other position in fantasy. Like at running back, sometimes a guy really can be tanked by a situation. But with receiver, like the best players do tend to rise to the top. And there are certain guys, like the San Francisco example is great, that I think Trey Lance's skill set, I mean, we haven't seen it fully, but his theoretical skill set overlaps so much more with Ayuk than it does like then Jimmy G and Debo Samuel. That was a great connection stylistically. So I think you can look at quarterbacks in that way, not necessarily just even how good they are, but what type of receiver do they fit with. And you know, when you spend a lot of time watching a receiver, you typically tend to find out that like what type of quarterbacks fit with them the best. And
like Sutton seems like he would with Russell Wilson.
Well, that's all the reporting too, that they are just like.
So are you high on both of those guys or what?
I can't shake the feeling that we get to like week six and week seven, and we're looking at the Denver Broncos, just kind of like, this is it.
I love it.
I think with the
I so agree. I just think it's been like ticking them for the AFC title game. I don't buy that.
I would love to have been able to come in here and say like, oh yeah, Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, these guys are coming off great years from an individual perspective. And you know, for your listeners that aren't familiar with reception perception, what I try to do is I think it's the only tool out there that can truly isolate wide receiver play from the surrounding variables, because we know wide receiver production is so inherent on those outside variables. You know, to get there, obviously you need to have a good quarterback, all that stuff. But I don't think Cortland Sutton played that well in isolation last year. There's a reason that he totally fell off the map once Jerry Jeudy got back there. And Jeudy obviously was banged up. I think that's the thing, is you can make an injury excuse for both these guys. Like Cortland Sutton was playing first year after an ACL, Jerry Jeudy playing on a high ankle sprain. But I just don't think either of those guys, we haven't seen it from Sutton since he tore his ACL, even though he was a great player that year. With Jeudy, we've only kind of seen it in flashes. And I think losing Tim Patrick is a big deal. Like now their third receiver, you know, KJ Hamler's not even really doing like team drills. He's like running individual drills. So I'm okay ranking these guys where like around where they are in ADP, but they're not some of my prime targets there.
I have two players I wanted to talk about here. One is a first round guy that if you're picking in the middle to back end of the first round, I'm wondering where you are on Tyreek Hill, because he is that special Hall of Fame level player that I'm sure on reception perception grades off the charts for what he does well. But you are going, it's the reverse of the Juju. You're going from Patrick Mahomes to a lesser entity, even though some people are very high, obviously, on Tua. And then the second part is a guy a little later in drafts that could be seen as a steal, but then maybe again, like in November, you're like, oh, I overthought that one. He had been out of the league for 2 years, and now he's got Jameis Winston. Michael Thomas, where are you on those two guys?
Yeah, Tyreek Hill, I've got him, you know, ranked around like the fringe top 10 area. I'm fine taking him there. I don't think you can really justify a top 20 ranking for a guy like Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, because I just think this is going to be a run-first offense, questionable quarterback. So I think you kind of have to put a flag on one or the other. Like if you're going to rank Tyreek Hill top 10, you can't really rank Jalen Waddle top 17 because the math just doesn't really work out there. But at the same time, they also don't really have any like a relevant third receiver. So I'm fine with where Tyreek Hill's going, but I'm not super bullish one way or another. On Michael Thomas, though, I said this going into last year, I think Michael Thomas gets a bad rap as like the slant boy thing. Well, it's a good nickname because it's objectively hilarious and it bothers him. That's how you know it's a good nickname.
Nobody wants to be called a blank boy anything.
No.
Slant boy
typically
is not.
Yeah. No. Sometimes.
But
Mark does.
That's a separate
Mark
podcast.
It's another podcast. Yeah. But I think that Michael Thomas actually is like a full field route runner. He has the second highest success rate versus man coverage score since 2014 in reception perception all time. Like, I think he can do it all. It's just been so long since we've seen him. What type of player is he? Is he at this point? I'm actually kind of excited about Jameis potentially unleashing him. We talked about like quarterback and wide receiver relationship earlier.
Talk to me.
I think that like Deontay Johnson's a guy who gets, you know, kind of typecasted as he can only run these little pop gun routes because Ben Roethlisberger could really only throw those pop gun routes. And I think, you know, Wes was on this early about Drew Brees, that his arm strength was in severe decline. That was kind of right as Michael Thomas was hitting his prime. So I think that's why Thomas has that like slant boy moniker. But you know, he goes around like wide receiver 30, 32. I'm fine taking him as like your third wide receiver because at that point,
man, that's what I love. That's what I love me in some fantasy drafts is you take the swings. And that, again, to talk about Wes, that was our thing. Take those. Like, there are so many good receivers. I would look in the rounds like 5 through 8. It's crazy. It's just deeper than it's ever been. To get a guy like Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins, I'll live with that suspension for him to come back a little later. Like Thielen is going in that area in the 6th round. To me, he has like huge upside this year. And then you get deeper and it's like Elijah Moore.
All the second-year guys,
like,
man.
Elijah Moore. It seemed crazy to me. He's so clearly to me going to probably be the one there, and Ayuk and all these guys. I would just like keep loading up because all those running backs you'd take in that area will be slushed.
You called Elijah Moore a star in one of your articles.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I'm so in on Elijah Moore. I think he's going to be a big time player. He's one of these guys that in their rookie season hit 75% success rate versus man. Like, those guys are the stars of the NFL. There are very, very few guys who have been true failures that have hit that mark in RP. I mean, there's guys like, you know, Sterling Shepard, who's been fine, like Curtis Samuel, who's been fine, but for the most part, these are like the all-stars of the NFL. So I love a lot.
Take like kind
of
5 or 6.
Yeah, he had kind of blown up and then got hurt, and then that stopped his momentum. But
had his biggest game last year with Joe Flacco.
There you go.
Right.
And he might be playing with Joe Flacco
Ravens
a lot.
Week one.
Right, and that I would be a little wary of Garrett Wilson just because I think it's crowded there and it might take him a little minute. But be like an NFL team. If you've especially got 3 wide receivers and a flex, like draft 5 good ones, draft 6 good ones. You'll end up using them all. And if you've got too many, like, great. They will be as easy to trade as anyone.
Can I ask you about one guy real quick? Like, yes. George Pickens is like blown up this summer. And I think if you're a more casual fantasy person and you're a Steelers fan, I just would take him because it's like I want him to be great. He's so I mean, rookies, do you just tend to not trust them as much no matter what happens in the preseason? Or does someone like Pickens kind of rise up through the ranks for you?
Rookies are interesting in fantasy because I'd rather be outside of the guys like last year, Jamar Chase, and I think Drake London and Chris Olave this year, I'm fine like drafting from the jump because you can project them to a really big role right away just based on the other guys that are there and also how good those players are. There are players like I think Alec Pierce fits into this. I think George Pickens, though he's probably going to start. I would start him in 2 wide receiver sets over Chase Claypool.
He's been in 2 wide receiver sets this summer.
I think he's a really, really good prospect. So he might be an exception to this, but typically like a guy like Sky Moore, you want them to be sort of that Amon-Ra St. Brown last year that when the bye week hits, you see their snaps rising, you see their targets start to rise.
But he's getting taken so late. I mean, he's almost a flyer. Him, right. That's crazy.
The thing is, though, a lot of these guys I'll go back to the St. Brown example, who's another player I really like this year among that second-year group. All the folks that had him on their teams that like won championships last year were probably not the ones that drafted him as that late flyer. I mean, you could take him and drop him, but be ready to like pick him back up if you start to see those snaps rising, the playing time rising. That's just one thing that I would
recommend.
There's
nothing worse than that. When you have
the
vibe on a player in August and you think you're smart and then the slow start and you lose and then someone else cashes in on that lotto ticket. All right, Matt Harmon. Man, we could talk for another hour with you, but we have such a jam-packed show. But you are a perfect leadoff man here. Check out Matt on Twitter, at Matt Harmon. Of course, Matt, you could find at Yahoo Fantasy. And, of course, his Reception Perception site, which you, by the way, call RP. Just throwing it out there. That's great IP, intellectual property, that you created. And hopefully you leverage that into multi-millionaire status eventually.
Fingers crossed.
A branding whiz here.
He is. All right, Matt Harmon, thank you very much.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
All right, there goes Matt. We'll be right back with more very special guests, the 52nd annual Fantasy Extravaganza.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up. Picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay. So you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah. Like, check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right. So what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back. The extravaganza rolls on with some very special guests joining us in studio right here. Colleagues from the NFL fantasy game, Marcus Grant, Mike Florio. Welcome to Around the NFL.
This music, it sounds like something from like an Apple TV space epic produced by Tom Hanks. You know,
well, you deserve
very
that.
Expensive.
Thanks, I appreciate
classy,
that.
No one watches it. Yeah, something
right,
like that.
It gets all like sort of all kind of love from the critics, but like no one you know in real life has ever seen it.
Absolutely. What is up, Mike Florio? First time, long time.
First time, yeah. First time, long time.
How are you?
Well, we're assuming long time. I'm not sure that you've
listened. Oh, yeah. Very long time. I'm just happy to be here with you guys.
You guys are with the NFL Fantasy Live gang here at NFL Network, also the podcast, and anywhere else you find the content for NFL Fantasy, you will see Marcus and Mike prominently involved with the rest of the gang. And I think because we have you guys together, I think it would be fun to get into a little debate type. You know, this podcast started as the ATL Debate Club.
It did.
How about a little debate between Mike and Marcus?
So you're trying to drive a wedge between us.
That's what the show is mostly about.
We like to create artificial conflict. That's basically.
Do you naturally get along, or is it just a surface level?
We actually,
level
you know, we I consider ourselves.
It's a good way to. You know.
I want to start because this one's juicy to me. Let's move. We just talked wide receivers with your former colleague, Matt Harmon. Let's talk running backs. Let's talk Ezekiel Elliott, who is polarizing beyond belief. Once upon a time, a couple years ago, this guy's a top five pick in fantasy drafts. Now it feels like it's swung the other way, and many people see him as washed and someone to stay away from. Where do you come down on this one, Marcus?
I want to be washed to the tune of being the RB7 last year, which is what he was. I feel like tales of Ezekiel Elliott's demise are greatly exaggerated. This is a guy who, look, I know the talk that he didn't have the burst, he didn't have the acceleration. He also was playing injured for a good chunk of the year last year. Fantasy Twitter has put Tony Pollard in the Cowboys' Ring of Honor. you know, and like I don't quite see it. I still think Zeke has a lot left. Plus, everything the Cowboys have told us this offseason says they still want him to be the workhorse back. They still want to give him, 250, 275 touches. And I feel like there aren't many running backs that you can draft that still have that sort of touch share. So I'm still in on Zeke. I will certainly gladly take the discount. He's coming off the board in the third round, so I will gladly draft him there. I think
is that that big a discount? I mean, well, that's still pretty early.
It is still pretty early, but it's a discount compared to, you know, in Zeke's past when you were talking about him as easily, you know, a first round guy. It's and I feel like it's gone up, actually. I feel like it was fourth, fifth round earlier this summer. So I will gladly draft him in the third round. You know, if I'm going two wide receivers early, I'll make him my first running back. I'm totally happy with that.
Mike, does this sound like madness to you?
So the one issue with the fact that me and Marcus talk fantasy football all day long is that, you know, some of his opinions rub off on me, and Marcus been making me a Zeke believer, but third round is too early for me. The thing with Zeke is The last couple of years, like last year, he finished as the RB7, but I believe in an individual week, he was a top seven running back one time. So he's kind of like a volume-dependent guy who at the end of the year, you're going to be like, oh, wow, he greatly exceeded his ADP. But I just, if I'm taking someone in the third round, I'm a sucker for upside. So I think like ETN and Breece Hall would be more the running backs that I go for there. Because my concern with Zeke is if that volume starts to dwindle, whether they start passing more or Tony Pollard does eat into that workload, I think then he'll struggle to return RB1 value. But luckily for Marcus and people drafting him, you do not have to take him as an RB1.
When I saw that you had a Breece Hall above him, I mean, the Jets are a projection entirely on offense, too. I found that spicy. That's you're a bit of an outlier on that front.
I Sessler approved.
He's a bad boy. He's showing off the sleeves here. Florio, I love it.
Yeah, give me all the Breece Hall over Zeke. That's what, I guess, bad boys do.
We have a much cooler Florio. Let's just face it. And I'll say this, that, like, what Marcus is saying, and I don't know if I'm taking him in the third round, but I see what you're saying because, A, if he was playing through a partially torn PCL last year in his knee, okay, the fact that he ended up RB7, that's kind of impressive. And B, I totally buy into sometimes when the owner / GM, like Jerry Jones, even though there's only one Jerry Jones, says to the media, oh, he's still our guy. He's going to be our bell cow. It's like when Jarrah says it, financially he has reasons for it to be that way too. So I think he's telling his head coach, the owner, he is our guy. Make it work.
I was going to say, is he telling it to us as fans or the media, or is he speaking to Mike McCarthy? You know,
yeah. All of the above, I think. This is not Georgia Frontier issuing fantasy advice.
Mike Florio, how about the quarterback position? Ooh. I you want to talk about spicy takes. Mike Florio hates Patrick Mahomes.
Partially because I'm a Bills fan.
Oh, okay. I understand that. I understand. That had to be – those 12 seconds probably
we're
still
using that
sticking
as the poll quote.
Why do you think that Patrick Mahomes is someone that – are you saying people should stay away from Patrick Mahomes?
I'm not saying you should stay away from him. I don't think he should be going as a top three quarterback like he is in most fantasy drafts. And my reason is – one, I think of all non-quarterbacks, Tyreek Hill is the most influential offensive player in the NFL. Like, he opens up so much for everyone else. And I think Patrick Mahomes will be fine with Juju and Sky Moore and all those guys they brought in, but I don't think he's going to have someone that could take a 10-yard pass 80 yards or someone that will consistently be open downfield and just create a lot more room underneath. But also the biggest thing is that the five guys I have ahead of him, Allen, Herbert, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, they all run a lot more than Patrick Mahomes does. And in fantasy football, like, that is kind of like a cheat code, getting a running back, quarterback who can run like that. So I think he will be a QB1. I just think the five guys that I have ahead of him have a easier path to being the best quarterback in fantasy than Mahomes does.
Why do you hate, like, Florio as a person just because of his opinion?
I mean, how do you spit on Patrick Mahomes like that? I mean, it's like putting ketchup on a steak. Wait, that's not probably, that's probably not a good analogy with Mahomes, right? I still believe in Mahomes. I still have him as a top three quarterback for me. And I sort of look
which
at
which is
it,
how early, like, for you?
For me, I think you're still talking about the fourth round, which is weird. Like, I will probably never have Patrick Mahomes because of where you have to draft him. I'm not ready to draft a quarterback at that spot just yet. But I still believe, I think in a weird way, maybe not having Tyreek Hill helps him out. And I always go back to some of early career Drew Brees, right, where it was hard to peg a Saints wide receiver, maybe outside of Marcus Colston that you really wanted, but you knew Drew Brees was going to be a top five guy because he was spreading the ball around to a whole bunch of players. Mahomes has been amazing, pretty much just funneling the ball to Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Now he's got Kelce. Now he's got Juju. I think Valdez-Scantling makes some plays. I think Sky Moore kind of slides in there. And whether or not he's throwing it, you know, take your running back pick, right? If it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if it's Isaiah Pacheco, who's become a fantasy hipster pick now. I think there's a lot more places to go with the football. And I know we all love the quarterbacks who can run, and those are the guys we love in the top five. The other way to be a top five quarterback is to be insanely efficient, which is what we've seen out of Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. If there's anybody who can slide into that, I think it's Patrick Mahomes. And maybe having a wider selection of targets means he's not playing hero ball as much. Maybe he's not forcing it. And some of those throws we saw last year that ended up as interceptions, maybe they turn into completions and touchdowns, and we see Patrick Mahomes still finish, you know, as a top three guy.
Like, where are you, Florio, on when to take these quarterbacks generally? Because it is confusing, I think, taking a step back and, like, looking at the drop-off at running back, for instance. Like, at first, there's all these great players. Kamara, I like the Saquon bounce-back idea. You know, Chubb, Aaron Jones, those are, like, second-round type of guys, maybe Joe Mixon. And then it's, like, Ezekiel Elliott and Cam Akers and James Conner and ETN and Josh Jacobs. And
the disgust on your face when you say those
names. That's how Zeke became RB7 last year.
I get it, but they're like third and fourth round guys, and it's like, are they that good at like playing football? Like, which is a factor because you start losing touches and everything, and then you can compare that to guys like Lamar or Jalen Hurts or Kyler and like quarterbacks that to me are money in the bank, will get running back, like that will get running value for you, and like, and or the receivers that are available there. It just feels to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, like these mediocre running backs are really getting pushed up the board.
Yeah, that, and we like to call it like the RB dead zone, which is where like people start just pulling up running backs because they're like, oh my God, all the good running backs are gone. Now I need one. So they're just going to leave other position, like good talent on the board. But I do agree with Marcus, like Mahomes fourth round is about right. But just because quarterback is so deep, I'd rather take a receiver, or I'd probably avoid those running backs you said, but I'll take like a receiver there or something, and I'll just get a quarterback a little bit later.
I do say though, by the way, I think, and I say this every summer, I think we are in line for kind of a rethinking of quarterback scoring, because if we all believe that Josh Allen is great or Patrick Mahomes is great, I don't believe it should be a strategic disadvantage to draft those guys. And that's sort of where we are right now. And I think we need to figure out something.
Unless you do a two QB league like I do. How you play the sport in modern times.
But I don't think that does it either. I think what that does is create scarcity. I don't think it separates the elites from the mediocres. I think it just creates scarcity. Like, we need to be in a world where we live in a world right now where Jameis Winston can throw 30 picks and end up as a top five quarterback. And that's just not kosher to me. So, you know, whether it's
quarterbacks
escalators,
turn into league winners, though. That's the thing. All the time. Like, Lamar was a league. I think Jalen Hurts will be a league winner this year if you draft him. Like, just take him in the fourth round instead of these
running backs. You could get
these,
two rounds later. You get him in the sixth at times.
I don't want to.
You've got Aaron Rodgers, Mike, down at 13. I find that intriguing too. I trust him to produce.
I joke that this is the first time ever that his fantasy ranking is higher than his number. But the thing is, he lost Davante Adams and he doesn't run at all, and he's been a quarterback who's been relying on like being uber efficient the last couple of years. And with his receiving room, I know he's great. He's Aaron Rodgers. He's been on a spiritual journey and all that. I don't know if he's going to be able to duplicate.
He's also a tattoo that also, I would say, is very intricate, not unlike his.
His is nice. His artist gets paid a lot of money, I'm sure.
He's also like the back-to-back reigning MVP. Is 38. Is he just going to just win MVP every year at this point? Maybe he would be a guy I would stay away from. I want to throw this name out here, and I am not an expert like you guys, but I play the game. I have in my league of record the second overall pick.
You said you were a two-time champ league of record.
And that's
to be clear, Mark and I
years.
Are not in that league. Like, as you said it almost sounded like you won the Around the NFL league.
Right, no. You've not beaten
There's no
me.
Such thing.
Yeah, I don't. This is the league of record going back to it with some chums from the late 90s. But I'm saying in my league of record, I have the second overall pick. I'm going to say three words. Christian McCaffrey, help.
I mean, I'm fine with it there. I understand.
What
I
if you drafted Christian McCaffrey last year?
No, I get it. I understand
who would you take? Who would you most take? Of these years.
If Christian McCaffrey's there at two, I'm taking McCaffrey. Just because, look, one, running back is especially fragile. Any guy can get hurt pretty much at any time. But when healthy, there aren't many guys who play the same number of snaps and get the same number of touches that Christian McCaffrey is going to get. And you know, that's the thing that Florio and I talked about is, you know, what happens if they decide to maybe ease off and give him fewer touches? And my response is, Matt Rhule has announced a self-preservation. He's going to ride Christian McCaffrey because he is the best player on that team. So, you know, I would say they would rest him if this was a team that was locked in to make the playoffs and they just wanted to keep him healthy till January. Matt Rhule wants to make sure he has a job this time next year. And so as long as McCaffrey is healthy, he's going to get 25 to 30 touches a game. And there just aren't many guys out there who can do what he does when he gets those number of touches.
I'm a little surprised I'm going off fantasy football calculator here. He's going number two. So, you know, 2.4 overall is where he's at ADP. I'm surprised more people aren't scared off by two straight lost seasons. The only thing to say is, like, he didn't have a catastrophic injury to a lower body. And he also, when he did play the last 2 years, he was still McCaffrey.
Right. Yep.
So you can imagine maybe there's some regression.
There's literally no historical precedent from in NFL history. Football Outsiders did kind of a look at it. Someone that was that productive that early and then missed two seasons like this. Like, it's literally never happened. So it's tough to predict.
Le'Veon Bell is like the type of guy where, like, he was a superstar stud at running back. He was gone for a long time, and then he was just out of the league.
On paper, their offensive line looks way better. He had to do this behind some bad offensive lines they drafted Conway.
The thing with him, though, is not only does he give you RB1 numbers every week, he gives you wide receiver 1 numbers every week because he's the only running back that's going to get you like 10 catches for 100 yards and a receiving
touchdown.
You're
going to make me draft this guy, aren't you?
If you don't want to take him second overall,
don't.
Take Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I like that. Or Cup.
Eckler.
Yeah. Or Chase.
Eckler's the other one.
Go wide receiver.
Yeah, go wide receiver.
This is too stressful.
Pivot to Jefferson.
I quit.
But if you're getting a point per reception, it's just like
half point.
You know you're going to be happy with those guys. And like,
right.
And I kind of like the running backs at the end of the
second
round.
This is one thing that annoys me about fantasy football, because it's just like everything
just
else with
thing?
The NFL. Well, I'm trying to have a softer approach to it, but you spend 4 months. It's mid-February, and everyone's drafting and drafting and drafting. You get 10 days into the regular season, and everyone's rosters are shattered. I mean, I think if you're a newer player, shouldn't there be more off-season strategy and teaching of people to what happens when everything goes off the train tracks, and it's like September 9th, and your roster's gone? Christian McCaffrey being like,
you got to scour that wire.
Well, I think some people don't know how to scour the wire. It's like you got to be up at 2 in the morning doing it.
No, I think that's fair. I think
that's how I did it when I played. It was like, I'm going to beat these guys and get this guy.
You know, first off, like, you know, there's you know, the degenerates like us who are drafting like right after the Super Bowl. And I will tell you this from past experience, having drafted like best ball teams like in February or March, I get to August, I'm like, what was I doing? These teams are trash. But yeah, I mean, I think I always tell people, you know, who do a lot of drafts and do a lot of analysis, I always tell them, get in a draft with just casual fans. Get in a draft with, with
some chum.
Especially if you're like one of us that works for the NFL,
right.
And then you just start throwing punches.
You know, because it's fun, you know, when it's May and it's July and, like, we're talking about Isaiah Spiller or Isaiah Pacheco and, like, hey, man, Damian Pierce is going to be something. But, like, be in a draft with, like, your friends from high school who don't follow this and suddenly, like, 3 quarterbacks are gone in the first round. Like, that will teach you sort of how to deal with that chaos. And yeah, I mean, I think part of our gig is – to explain that to people, like, how do you draft when things go sideways? How do you keep your roster afloat when, you know, suddenly the running back you drafted in the second round, you know, suffers an unfortunate injury and is going to be gone for 8 weeks or more? You know, that's all part of the thing, because, you know, you don't win or lose your draft, your league on draft day. It really is a progression of what happens in the season. It's waiver wires, it's making trades, it's kind of staying up on that. So, like, you know, I feel like that's part of our responsibility, is to kind of teach folks
it's
how
a
to
heavy
how to,
responsibility.
How to
Dan,
do it.
So are you, is that how you
yes,
won
Mark.
The title twice by doing what he is like NFL employee taking out ham and eggers and like laundromat attack?
I can tell you there's a lot to it. My last title, I had Alvin Kamara playing on Christmas Day and scoring 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, that'll do it.
For more fantasy analysis from Marcus Grant and Mike Florio, listen to the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the NFL Fantasy Football Show on NFL.com, YouTube, the NFL app, and the NFL Fantasy app. Boys, you've said it all. We will be following you throughout the season, and keep inking up, bro. You know you can't stop, Mike. You're going to take it down to the wrist in time.
If I'm allowed to here, that's my only thing for pause. But if they let me, I will gladly do it.
Like it.
You have to shave your forearms to have the extensive work done.
I don't, but okay. The artist does.
They would.
All right. NFL Fantasy, guys. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
All right. There they go. Thank you to Mike and Marcus. And the train keeps rolling. On our next guest, you may know him as Rotopat. Friends call him Patty. We'll go with the formal name, Patrick Daugherty. Welcome back to Around the NFL, our friend.
Yeah, you go with my Brazilian soccer moniker, my one word name of Rotopat. Like you said, my friends just call me Pat. So we try to get it down to one syllable. And so that's why I just call me Pat.
How many friends do you have?
You know, I've got several.
Okay.
Several. And several who live in the same town I live in, even.
Oh, that's nice.
You can believe that.
I'd like to call you a friend, nice. Rotopat. I mean, we've barely ever met each other in real life, but we did work together. He laid some of those bricks Dan.
That's Greg's type of friendship
with Chris Wrestling.
That's good. You were a bricklayer with Greg.
In modern times, too, though, that's how you do it. You build it online. You cement it with one or two real life meetings. Then you never meet in person again. And then you text about tennis.
All right. So, RotoPat, you are a man that we turn to for the purposes of this exercise. You know, we call it cranky takes with RotoPat. And I don't know if that set you up in the nicest light. I don't know. And this is Greg's idea. So you can take it out with your close friend, Greg Rosenthal. But we want to see some things where you're bucking against conventional wisdom in the fantasy realm as people get ready to draft. Things that people are hot on and you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Stop the clocks. Let's figure this out and let's talk about it. RotoPat, give us some cranky takes, bro.
First off, stop the clocks is an amazing phrase. I don't know if I've ever heard anyone else use it. I stole it from the Oasis best of compilation.
There you go. Now you found a way into my heart, friend.
There you go. And first of all, that is how Greg basically described the segment. He's like, basically, it's come on and be cranky.
Yeah.
I mean, this is who you are. We like to flatten out people's personalities. We do not like nuance. We want you to be a cartoon character.
We're a two-dimensional show.
Right, and you do have... some bite to your Twitter takes, and you are kind of in the system, but you also buck against the system. So yeah, like what is like a fantasy sort of conventional take right now that's not flying past RotoPat?
Well, no one has ever described me in such hip terms before. I really
you are wearing a blazer,
like the fantasy James Dean, which is also not a hip term at this point.
There you go. I'm the fantasy James Dean, just bucking up against the system. And Greg, I'm going to steal one from you because. Okay. I've been on like a whistle stop tour all summer, truthing Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
Going as like a running back one. And some people listening to the show, it's like my stump speech where I've already said this. Like, I was in Topeka, I said it. I was in Council Bluffs, I said it. I was in Waukegan, Illinois, I said it. So sorry if you've already heard me say this, but like, I feel like it's been memory hold that Leonard Fournette was a healthy scratch, like literally 3 or 4 weeks before he was Lombardi Lenny. Like, he totally just backed into the job and then, you know, did a decent job with it. I guess I can't deny that. But, you know, he's been living off these receptions in fantasy, and he's just not a good pass catcher. He's not an efficient pass catcher at all. It's just like the definition of empty volume, and he's not the most efficient runner. He's a little more efficient than you would maybe assume, just like looking at his raw counting stats. But he's not terribly explosive after first contact anymore, and when you look at the Bucs breaking in 3 new starters along their interior line.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Again, he kind of like bumbled into this job. But the Bucs see the same things I see, where they've taken another day 2 shot on a pass catching back in Rashad White. And I think people sometimes just kind of assume that since Keyshawn Vaughn didn't work out, like the rookie has no chance to just work out in the Tom Brady led offense. But it's been like a pretty solid summer for Rashad White.
I was going to say his ADP is in the second round. You'd kill me before I would take Leonard Fournette in the second round of a draft in 2022.
Is that because
Battleship Lenny?
Is that because the running back scene in general falls off a cliff after a certain number of them?
It does. But he's got like the 2 like magic things in fantasy where he has goal line carries and receptions, but he doesn't score as many touchdowns as you would expect. I think partly because Tom Brady is so wildly efficient in the red zone. And I just don't believe in those receptions remaining there. You know, not to mention all the other stuff where he's starting to have durability woes. He's having some conditioning woes. I mean, not to pass judgment. I have quite literally eaten cake 4 days in a row. It was my birthday last week.
Different career. But
there's like the red flags are piling up for Leonard Fournette, a guy who I just feel like has been living on borrowed time. And like the sharpest drafters out there, like the best ball drafters, the people who draft on like Underdog, and they've got him, they seriously got him as an RB1. And I just, for the life of me, cannot figure it out. It feels like hitting on like 17, you know, it's just like taking, it's like the classic, you know, like when a team signs a free agent and they get like 10 sacks and instead of just letting him go and trying to find the next version of that player, the team re-signs him to like a 3-year, $36 million deal.
Like Shaq Barrett.
And immediately go back to being a bust. Yes, exactly. What I feel like is happening with Leonard Fournette.
Extend your blackjack analogy. Like in blackjack, if the old lady at the end of the table, Mildred, hits on 17, you get up off the table and you walk. But when if you're in a fantasy league with someone taking Leonard Fournette in the first round, get comfortable, buddy, because it's good to have chum in your league.
Right, Wes and
I'm
would
settling in.
Wes and I would talk about this one of like – there almost seems to be a hesitance in fantasy now because it's very analytical, and that, you know, people are making a lot of money, and there's a hesitance to ever even evaluate if they're good at football or not, like, because that has been proven over time to be very difficult to do. But I think you can look at a guy like Fournette or some of these other running backs. I keep hitting this at that point, like a James Conner and Akers, or I would even throw a Javonte Williams in there. Like, Leonard Fournette hasn't been that effective for the team that hired him to be effective in the vast majority of seasons in which he played football. So that's data, too. Like, I think you can make the assessment that that big of an up-and-down player is such a risk at that point in the draft when you've got basically money receivers and money quarterbacks or other positions that you can take.
Who else?
Yeah, I mean, investing in situation over the player is sometimes a necessary evil, but it's just like, I think with Leonard Fournette, there are enough red flags at this point where I just like don't believe in the situation strongly enough to overlook the fact that, like you said, he's just never been a good NFL player. He's never been horrible, but at best, he's a league average player.
All right, so who else are you cranky about?
You don't bet on those guys.
Who else are you cranky about, Roto?
Well, you mentioned James Conner, and he's really in like the exact same boat as Leonard Fournette, and he's going in like the exact same ADP range. And it's just, again, something I'm just surprised to see from like the sharp drafting community, because it seems like running it back with last year's bargain. I mean, James Conner was like quite literally like a league winner for a lot of people last year because there were zero expectations for him. There was so much Chase Edmonds hype, but he was so touchdown reliant. 15 touchdowns. He's someone who's appeared in more than 14 games one time in his career, and that was last year with 15. Like, he is like the definition of a league average runner. He's in a little more all over the map as a pass catcher, or he's had some pretty effective pass catching seasons. But he's another guy where, like, even if he stays healthy, like, I think the ceiling is probably like 10 to 11 touchdowns. He's going to be someone you wish you had taken in the fourth or fifth round, but to get him, you have to take him in the second or third round. And it's just the class. I'm not, instead of taking James Conner, I'm just trying to find who this year's James Conner is.
Who are some guys that you're almost cranky that, like, people aren't giving them enough love? Like, why don't they see what Roto Pat sees?
Tyler Lockett, who is a guy I usually don't want to draft because he's kind of got like the nonsensical narrative. Like, Tyler Lockett's like almost a player where you have to believe in superstition because like every year he has the numbers no matter what, but it always seems like he only does it in four games. He's always very, very super frustrating.
He's also like a licensed realtor.
That's a problem. That's a red flag.
He's a polymath. He's like a straight line from Thomas Jefferson to Tyler Lockett. He's a man of many arts and principles, but he's going as quite literally the wide receiver 48 on Underdog.
Wow.
He's going as the wide receiver 36 on ESPN.
Gino is freaking everyone out.
Isn't that a Gino Drew Lock effect a little bit going
which
on
I
there?
Guess.
It is, but also like there is a baseline to any people are drafting the Seahawks wide receivers as if they're going to attempt 15 to 20 passes a game. And like that might be like Pete Carroll's like wildest dream. Like, they're still going to attempt 25, 30 to passes per game. Like, every NFL team essentially has to. And it's an extremely narrow target tree. Both Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf.
Good fantasy term there. Like that. Narrow target tree.
Exactly. They're going to command massive target shares. Like, Tyler Lockett, you know, he might not be top 24. But, like, he's going to – Tyler Lockett's probably going to have another 1,000.
I like that. He's very post – like, those are great players to take that have you've established as great players that for some reason have no buzz.
Yeah, here are the five wide receivers that are going just ahead of Tyler Lockett in drafts right now. Alan Lazard, totally unproven with Aaron Rodgers. Nuke Hopkins, who's not even playing football until the end of October. Robert Woods, coming off an ACL on a new team. Christian Kirk, again, a projection on a new team in Jacksonville that was a wipeout last year. Kadarius Toney with the Giants, need I say more. And then
like
Tyler Lockett. All right, I like him too, but it's like he's Daniel Jones is a quarterback, and that's a big projection. Lockett, yes, I understand Russell Wilson is gone. I'm with you. I hear you on that. Give us another one. Get cranky.
Well, you mentioned some of the guys. First, DeAndre Hopkins, like, we talk about injury optimism and fantasy. Like, you know, I know this guy's not going to play for a while, but I'm going to stash him. And when I make the playoffs, it's going to be like a total
stashes.
Life hack. And so, sorry, it's not injury optimism, of course. It's suspension optimism with DeAndre Hopkins. And sure, in theory, he could be like a second wide receiver one or two for you in the playoffs. But in order for that to happen, you have to make the playoffs. And you are severely hurting your odds of making the playoffs if you're carrying a dead roster spot for literally 50% of the fantasy season, because he's suspended for six games, then they have their bye in week 13. So you know, by definition, DeAndre Hopkins will not be playing for at least 50%.
So cranky.
The fantasy season. I'm very cranky.
So I shouldn't stash like Antonio Brown for that November signing that happens every season.
No, I mean, maybe even a dynasty league. Then, you know, it doesn't matter. They're like, that's just like free. The roster, it doesn't matter. You just roster anyone in a dynasty.
If you're watching us on YouTube, you can see RotoPat's got a nice bookshelf behind him, wearing a nice blazer, classing up. But there seems to be a bust of like an historical figure. I'm just curious.
That's Mark Twain, isn't it?
Who is that? Who is the
That's
your
Abe
boss?
Lincoln. This is Mr. or, this is Mr. Marcus Twain.
Right? Okay, Mark Twain.
Missouri right. Great.
Hannibal, are you trying to? I mean, you're trying to make it clear to us that you're very literary with the background, which yeah. I don't disapprove of.
That's a Missouri thing, yeah.
So okay. I've read a book. don't get me wrong, I've read a book, and if I opened, you know, I would be able to. If I opened any one of these books to any one page, I'd probably know at least 5 to 10 of the words.
Do you have any cranky takes? Because we haven't talked about tight ends yet, and kind of a funky positional group in fantasy right now. Do you have any cranky takes at the tight end position?
Well, I have a cranky take about someone who's essentially a tight end, Alan Lazard. Am I right, folks? not really a receiver. He's a 6'5", very, very, very slow. So Alan Lazard, I will just say really quick on Alan Lazard.
Like, sure.
Aaron Rodgers says he's the number one receiver. Aaron Rodgers also says a lot of things. Alan Lazard just seems like a player without a second gear. I just do not see it happening. A tight end.
What's your strategy at tight end? It seems like a strange time in the fantasy tight end world right now.
It is. The top six or seven, there's like a huge drop off after like the Dalton Schultz, Dallas Goedert zone. And Schultz is like the tight end six. And that's frankly kind of like the cutoff of like safely projectable targets and production. Like even Dallas Goedert, TJ Hockenson, it gets a little shaky because we don't quite understand the nature of the Eagles offense. TJ Hockenson has like really robust target competition for the first time in his career. Ooh. And then where I kind of get cranky is Dawson Knox, where I feel bad because I like big play players and he's an explosive play threat, but I think it was 9 touchdowns and like 73 targets last year. That's just totally unsustainable. Like classic textbook touchdown regression waiting to happen. And the way you offset touchdown regression is by increasing your targets, but I just don't see how he can increase targets like the rise of Gabriel Davis, them like improving their slot situation by swapping out Cole Beasley for Isaiah McKenzie and Jameson Crowder. And it just seems like going to be like a classic touchdown regression season for Dawson. Now this could be, he might just be like truly best friends with Josh Allen, which actually is the buzz. And maybe he'll be the preferred guy in the red zone.
That's our friend Adam Levitan's shower narrative.
If they're
taking the showers together in the locker room, then
that could mean a lot of things.
Right. That is a narrative.
Many.
Are you buying into the Kyle Pitts becomes God this year?
Yes.
I am, but also Marcus Mariota, what was like his defining characteristic as a passer in Tennessee?
Cannot make anyone godlike under any circumstances.
He's not a guy that would like put you in position to make big plays. Like he did not attempt dangerous throws. Was like
that Monday Night Football game was a perfect example. Kyle Pitts destroys the Jets cornerback on the outside playing wide out and picks up a 40-yard gain from Mariota, but it would have been a 70-yard touchdown if someone else was throwing that.
Hit him in stride.
When I'm seeing Kyle Pitts as the 40th overall player, but they're suggesting that Antonio Gibson, who has been operating with the third team and returning kicks, is the 31st.
Mark's I'm the only one that could be cranky on this show. Shut down
I'm backing your point. I mean, they're telling you to take J.K. Dobbins over George Kittle.
So, yeah, this whole, like, that we've been talking about how that round looks weird for running backs. No, you're right.
Get me out of here.
That round, that area is weird. So I'm gonna stand on a table here. I'm going to have a cranky take.
All right, go ahead.
I mean, Pitts and Kittle – if you could get a guy like Kittle who is going in the first round like a year ago or 2 years ago and is still in the middle of his prime and is going in the fourth round, take that guy. Now is the time. Like, that is an area where I don't like the players being taken that much, the running backs and even some of the receivers, definitely. Pitts, Kittle, fourth round.
Greg,
do it. It's time.
There's a fantasy
Both of
truism.
Those guys.
Greg hijacking your segment.
There's a fantasy truism about tight ends is that – The kiss of death in fantasy is you do not want a tight end to be a good blocker. You just do not want a tight end. You want them to be horrible. You want them to be like Mike Gesicki out there like feigning a block and then just like running around his guy and like catching a 12-yard pass. George Kittle is just too good at blocking. And, you know, he gets him hurt a lot too. He's like such a ferocious blocker. Like the Kittle negative case.
He was 71 for 910 last year, you know, last year.
The serious negative Kittle case is like, how much is this offense really going to pass as we like transition to the trailing? But I've been dropping.
Oh, man.
And it's like, how many?
I couldn't disagree more.
I love guys who have 200-yard games every season, and George Kittle does that.
He does that, but to the durability point, that's the thing. Is like, is he going to miss two games or is he going to miss eight games? And, you know.
Only one
13 or 14 game season.
Worst blocker.
Only George one. Kittle, only one time did he miss significant games. So it does feel like he's always hurt.
All right.
But at those two guys. But
Streisand effect.
Pitts especially. I was getting flashbacks because we were in London for the Pitts Falcons Jets game.
Yep.
And then it was on Monday Night Football. I feel
he's
like
a great young player.
I feel
Will
like
you guys
Pitts,
take
Pitts
me into London
it.
With you one of these years, by the way.
Just come. I mean, we won't
love to.
Pay for you, but if you come, we will.
We'll take
have
showers
you,
with you.
If
we
you
will
bring this,
you,
if you bring this cranky energy, you're gonna be, y'all will be sitting next to me on
we
the plane.
We will have you as an unpaid guest on our live show, but we will have free beers from all the listeners who are there. So they will they, pay
to
for
ensure
you.
I'll be cranky, I'll stow away in the wheel well of your chartered jet, and so I'll be very, very cranky
deal.
When I get there.
Pat Daugherty, how about a plug before we say goodbye?
I mean, just everything. Keep it locked to NBC Sports Edge, Roto World. It's the final weekend of the preseason, which doesn't mean what it used to. I mean, most of these guys.
But the word, the name Roto World is back. I'm actually on a show with you, Roto Pat, where they drafted alumni or mock draft. People should check that out.
We were actually asking you to plug us, but that's okay. Whatever it is you're
I'm saying
up
that's
to,
on that's on Peacock or that's
I mean,
on NBC.
Let's not bury the lead. Roto World is back.
Yeah. Roto World is back.
NBC
yeah,
Sports
I'm not
Edge.
Here to talk about the past, but yeah. Roto World is back.
Matthew Berry said he was integral in bringing it back. He like that was part of his negotiation.
That was my theory.
You
what
were
happened,
right. You
what
were
happened
right.
To
I
the,
was right.
What
good.
Happened to the marketing executive that came up with the NBC Sports Edge? That person's operating in a different industry at this point, I'd imagine.
Mark, I'm not here to talk about the
next. Yeah, there are no reverse gears in the tank of RotoPath. Thank you, our friend, and we will catch up to you down the road.
I hope we'll see you.
There he goes, Patrick Daugherty.
That was good. We
always
did him dirty
pleasure.
Last time because we had all these technical
tech
problems.
Diffs.
So it was nice
yeah, tech
to have.
Diffs.
It's nice to just have it nice and clean.
Nice and smooth.
Clean
right.
Like your face these days, Dan. You're shaving. You're shaving daily. You're not just shaving, but it's every
daily.
Day.
Bi-daily.
Okay. Well, today was one of those days.
I am not a hairy guy, so I don't have to shave every day.
Above your lip, though, there is you can notice some hair growing in slowly. I'm not saying it's whiskers, but you could tell where it would be growing.
Right. That's kind of like the old man thing. When you start to get older, all of a sudden you shave and it's still like right under there. Like,
yeah, it's
your
problematic.
Time's running out.
Yeah, stay in house. Stay in your house.
All right. We have three guests down, four guests down, one very special fish to go after the break.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
that's
my
game, bro.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back.
Oh, yeah. Where's that song been all show?
You know, that, of course, is the theme song for our next guest, co-founder of Establish the Run, brick by brick layer over at Roto World Once Upon a Time, and now making yet another appearance on the Fantasy Extravaganza, Evan Silva. What's up, Big Fish?
A lot. I mean, this is the my busiest time of year, and it's also the second podcast in the same day that I've done with Greg Rosenthal. So definitely getting my full of Greg Rosenthal today. For sure.
Welcome to our world. Yeah.
Yep.
It's a lot. That was the aforementioned alumni draft. People should check out over at Roto-World where you did the damn thing, Evan, and then you left them high and dry, and now you're really out competing them, I think, in the marketplace. Establish the Run is
calm
getting
down,
it
Greg.
Done.
We just had RotoPad on from that company.
Just saying, they're
everyone's,
getting it done.
Hey, listen, there's a lot of pie, and everybody's taking a slice and eating up. How about that? Does that be a winner and a loser at all times, Greg? Always?
The big fish is gobbling it all up.
Fish, listen, it's so great to have you on again. We hold you, as you know, in such high esteem. And there's a reason why you're batting cleanup here with our guests, because I think it's time to get to where Evan Silva, a man that obviously thrives in this world for a living, we want to get your insight as we enter the 2022 season. I think a good place to start is at wide receiver here. There are a couple players to you that are jumping off the paper for you, good and bad. Let's start with a player that everyone absolutely loves. He's heading to Canton based on his Green Bay trajectory, but he ain't in Green Bay anymore. Let's talk to Davante Adams.
Yeah, I mean, this is a player that I'm down on relative to ADP this year, average draft position for the rookies out there. Davante Adams consistently goes in the top eight, top 10 of fantasy drafts, and I think that people just kind of assuming that he's going to be able to roll over his production that he got with Aaron Rodgers. He's downgrading quarterbacks from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr. He just got paid one of the biggest contracts in NFL history for a wide receiver. He's about to turn 30. And if you look at the target competition that Davante Adams is going to have to deal with the Raiders, Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow in particular, he never had to deal with that much target competition when he was in Green Bay. And that's part of what led to his greatness. I mean, consistently averaging 10, 12 targets per game. And I think that his targets per game are going to come down a little bit. His efficiency per target is going to come down a little bit with the Raiders. I still think he's going to have a good season. I mean, I have him as the number 17 overall player right now, but that is well below his ADP because he consistently goes in the top 10.
I want to just take a moment here, Evan. On the screen behind us, I'm assuming you can see it. Can we put up this graphic, please?
The 55th.
Bear with us for a second.
Fantasy
this is important.
Extravaganza. Mark rarely goes into the, you know, having a setup like this. Yeah, I'm excited to see what happens.
Gave him a heads up behind the scenes. All right, so look at that.
I mean, this is one of the best Twitter accounts on Twitter is yours, and it is just chock full of football information. But I noticed at some stage that the profile pic changed to this, and I would like to just ask you about the approach. I see some real sort of zaddy energy vibing off of this.
Some McCarthy energy.
Sure. What was your strategy here?
It just was a funny picture that would say that's in Cape Cod. That's right in Provincetown, right on the Strip. In Provincetown, I was hanging out with Pat Thorman, fellow ETR writer, formerly of Pro Football Focus, and we were on the back of a rickshaw, okay, riding through the center of Provincetown, and I don't know, someone took that picture, and I was just like, and then someone put it on Twitter, and then I was just like, screw it, I'll just make it my profile.
There's big Zaddy
energy.
It's
kind of funny.
There is
to it, no doubt.
And just to prove that I'm on the show for a reason beyond this kind of nonsense, you talked about Davante Adams as someone that you're down on compared to others. Mm. Is there a wideout out there that you could suggest to drafters? Maybe this guy is not being looked at the way he should be. He's better than we think.
And people are going to hate this.
Great question.
And people are going to absolutely hate this. But, you know, I don't care. I wanted to come strong. You know, I wanted to kind of dog down on a big time producer and prop up a guy that disappoints everyone every year. And that's Sammy Watkins.
Ooh,
because Sammy Watkins is actually younger than
Davante
Adams.
You're not doing this. You're doing it. Fish.
I am doing it.
Oh my God.
But you can get him in the last round of your draft almost every time because no one wants to take him. I mean, I draft him in the 18th round every time. He has already earned a starting job in Green Bay. If you look at the receivers Aaron Rodgers is a teammate elevator. Now, everybody remembers the year that everybody thought that James Jones was washed and he came in and scored a bunch of touchdowns. I think Sammy Watkins can be that guy. This year, people want to make Alan Lazard to be that guy, and he probably is higher probability to be that guy, but you have to draft him in the sixth round. With Sammy Watkins, you could take him the 18th round. You know, I think he's going to have a number of good weeks. He'll probably get hurt at some point. I mean, he's already been hurt early in training camp. He had a hamstring. But for a guy that you can get that late who's going to be a starter with Aaron Rodgers in three receiver sets, I think that that's the kind of guy that you want to pull the trigger on late in your draft.
I love that.
Saucy.
Okay.
Because to me, he seems like a guy who will spike up 5 weeks and be absolutely worth starting in fantasy leagues. And that's one thing I like about you, Silva. You swing for the fences. You were crushing these people in this draft that I was watching. I just liked what he did in each round. It was just like he was wiping the floor with them.
Very nice.
Who are some late round? We haven't talked kind of like deep running backs. I've been honking a lot about guys who are overvalued. But if you're going to avoid those types of guys, who are some running backs in the round seven, maybe onward, that you like?
I think the guy that pops out to me most right now is Dameon Pierce because so rare that you see a fourth round player sat in the second preseason game treated like a starter. And that's what we're seeing right now from Dameon Pierce. The Texans absolutely love him. Actually, Aaron Wilson, you know, who covers the Texans, actually was DMing me yesterday about how much the Texans love him, how much he believes in him as a player. And his competition in Houston right now is Rex Burkhead, who, look, we all love Rex Burkhead, right? But he's like 33 years old.
You love him more than most. We used to have some –
okay, that's like, true.
Rex Burkhead and your love for him has been around so long that I think we like debated about it 7 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. But now he's 33 years old. He is still playing on passing downs, but he's like a designated pass protector. He's not a guy they're trying to feed the ball to. And Marlon Mack is one of these Achilles victims. No running back has ever successfully come back from an Achilles tear, at least not within the first couple years of that recovery time period. That's an absolute killer at the running back position. So, and Dameon Pierce has looked so good. In the first preseason game, he was outstanding. Josh Norris has really beaten the drum for Dameon Pierce even before all of this, even before the draft, talking about him as a sleeper, was heavily underutilized at Florida by Dan Mullen, is really good in the passing game, the cuts, the vision that he has shown so far. I mean, he's just a really impressive talent, and I think the Texans got a steal. And I think this guy could win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Like, I think he's legit, really good.
And that's as run-heavy a team as there is in the league, even last year when they were terrible offensively.
And I'm glad he keeps coming up because he's always on our mind. And you think fantasy, you think Wes. And Wes used to say a lot, like, this evaluation period through the summer into preseason, look out for the young running backs, the guys that maybe aren't at the top of a draft board but are flashing and showing themselves to be explosive because they can hit the ground running. Now, I want to tee this up. Last year on the Fantasy Extravaganza, Big Fish, you were very bold about fading another big animal. Let's listen in.
Derrick Henry has averaged 106 total 1 yard, 106 total yards and over one touchdown per game and wins only 50 yards and 0.3 TDs in losses. You're not going to get he hasn't had a 20 catch season in college or the pros. That's almost a decade worth of sample size. So I think that this is going to be the year that we see the big dog fall.
And indeed, the big dog did fall. It was injuries and, you know, you could say workload that contributed or just bad luck. Whatever it was, the big dog, Derrick Henry, after a monster few seasons winning fantasy leagues, did fall off. Are you out on the big dog forever, or are you now on the big dog train after a relatively down year? And, you know, on the plus side, yes, lower body injuries, but a lessened workload significantly entering 2022.
Yeah, I mean, he's really a major injury risk because we know how the Titans are going to use him. He's going to, but you know, that also gives him a ton of upside. We actually just talked about him on the Roto World show with Matthew Bear. We had the same exact conversation, and it's like you can build a really good bull case for him, and you can build a really good bear case against him. It's just, are you willing to take the risk on Derrick Henry? I think the Titans are going to be much worse than they were last year. You heard those statistics on him in wins versus in losses. He's not going to catch a ton of passes. So he's just, I think he's a classic boom or bust player. And so therefore it's a personal preference deal as to whether you want to invest in a player like that.
A question for you, because the other thing you can track, I think, during this preseason time in these games, offensive line play, which is, I think, obviously about as core and critical as it gets for any offensive unit. And I look at a team like the Steelers. There's quite a spicy group of skill position players. And it starts with, like, their wideouts, Najee Harris, I mean, George Pickens. When you're watching Mitch Trubisky, and it could be Kenny Pickett playing quarterback, and they're running for their life, does it affect in a major way or in any way where you would put their skill position players? Do you downgrade them because of that?
Yeah, I would say so. We have, I think, the best offensive line analyst in media working for us, and Brandon Thorne, and he does his offensive line rankings, and he has the Steelers very near to the bottom. It's a big concern. I think with Najee Harris, he can kind of overcome that because he projects for so much volume that sometimes it doesn't matter. But I mean, the complexion of the offense, how many points are they going to score? You know, what is Najee Harris' touchdown upside? It's absolutely something that we factor in. It's also, you know, and it goes the other way too, like with Philadelphia, it makes me want to like Miles Sanders more because we have the Eagles as like the number one offensive line in the league. It makes me want to like Miles Sanders more than his ADP. No one wants to draft Miles Sanders. He falls the eighth, ninth round all the time. And if they were to get Kareem Hunt, which has been heavily rumored, I mean, that would be a fantastic fit in Philadelphia, Kareem Hunt behind that O-line. I mean, they have a punishing offensive line.
Right. I think you look at this time of year, and you mentioned Pierce is a guy that flashed. Brian Robinson is another. I'm just going to throw out some later round picks.
Yep.
Brian Robinson is one that seems like he's still going late. Ramondre Stevenson, I'm surprised, actually doesn't have more buzz because he's a Patriots runner who you mentioned playing all three downs. He's a power goal line back that can play third downs, and I think that's been overlooked. Ken Walker, who's going to get dinged because he's not going to be ready for weeks one or two. Who knows if he even misses a month. But he might be a guy worth stashing. James Cook. I'm just throwing a bunch of names out. Tell me who you like or you don't like out of that group. Daryl Henderson, I'll throw in there too.
I like pretty much all those guys except for Kenneth Walker. And that's because I think that he's going to get a very much a late start behind Rashad Penny. Do you remember how good Rashad Penny was down the stretch last year? I mean, over the final five games,
we were there. We were there in person. Big Fish, the three of us for the Tuesday afternoon spectacular. You might not remember it. Like NFL fans might not remember it, but a 20 to 10 classic where the Seahawks went down, but Penny had a monster game.
I think about it all
the time. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, Rashad Penny was like the best running back in the NFL for the final couple months of last year. Like, and they want to run the ball in Seattle. So I'm going the other way on Kenneth Walker and I'm pivoting to Rashad Penny.
Penny things popped up on this show as well because he was so dominant for that small stretch. But I mean, he was an afterthought in the league and in Seattle's backfield for so long. We just couldn't stay healthy. We're banking on now
stay
him
healthy.
Put it together for a full year.
But where's
year.
He getting drafted? I mean, he's not getting drafted until like the 30th right. running right. back.
It all depends where you're taking
And this
him.
Is sort of where I think we're all in the same boat fantasy-wise of take big swings. That's what we said that before with sure. Wes. Like, that's a guy who, to me, showed Derrick Henry-like ability, but you can take him late in the draft. And if he gets hurt, you know, you'll live.
Hey, guy was a first round pick in the NFL. I mean, and you go back and look at his speed score, his you know, is which is like the combination of the size and the weight plus the speed. I mean, he was a speed score freak according to Football Outsiders coming out of college. Just he could not stay healthy his first few years in the NFL. He's going to get the ball a ton to open the season.
Do you when you're out on the town? I mean, you're all over the place. Everyone plays fantasy. Moms, dads, kids, nieces, nephews. Do you get recognized at like nightclubs and eateries and cafes?
No, man. It's no. One time at the Bulls game when I was with my daughter at a Bulls game, some guy like pulled me aside, and my daughter thought it was like the coolest
what,
thing ever.
What, it was a guy?
That matters.
I was like all embarrassed. Yeah.
How's the motor, though? You're what, 16, 17 years into the game now? 18,
something like that. Jeez.
And you, famous motor. You know, big-time talent, famous motor. That's how you become like a fantasy Hall of Famer. You know. Are you like in the Tom Brady phase though, where you need to like go hang out with the daughter for a couple weeks and make, you know, it feels like a lot.
Go on the Masked
weight.
Singer.
Right.
Absolutely.
Like, how's the motor? Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. The motor is still pretty strong. It's not what it was, you know, in the very, very early days. I mean,
I wouldn't want it to be unhealthy. It was unhealthy.
Greg, I would wake up at 7 a.m.
It was insane.
Go get some coffee and work until I went to bed every single day.
I remember.
And I just want to say,
you're on your purpose.
I just want to say,
I remember. And at one point, you were questioning whether we should even keep Adam Levitan in the football
space. Oh, God, do not
space.
Say that.
Why does Greg need to do
and
this
And now he's your
thing.
Partner.
I don't
and
know. Who, he's creating who, division.
And
he's
who talked you into, division. Like, no, we got to keep Levitan going.
He's
and now
all day long with that.
Greg's instincts, always impeccable. How about this? You got to say to Silva, class act. To even talk to Greg after their feud over Sam Darnold last year.
Right.
So, I don't know if you guys want do we have something here, Grave Digger?
I don't want
one
this.
More clip.
I'm going to go like with some deeper sleepers here, and I'm going to start off with a guy who's, you know, has been near and dear to your heart, Dan. maybe no longer, but he's a guy by the name of Sam Darnold.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
And
okay.
So we know that the post. Well, that's what most people are going to say.
So, you know, I know.
Did you hear that puke noise? That was Greg.
Yeah. That was Greg.
That has
personal.
Stuck with me.
It's not personal.
That has stuck with me.
Now, I get a lot of heat from listeners for, you know, being loyal on some level to Darnold's ability. But I guess I have to go, and I don't know if you're with me, just take the L on Sam at this point.
Well, if you go back and play the full clip, I explained that he was a good early season bridge to like Trey Lance or Justin Fields. That's where I really got that analysis wrong. I mean, those guys were never factors, you know.
That's true.
But Sam Darnold actually was good early in the fantasy
Silva
season.
Silva says he's taking the W on Greg. I like it.
I mean, he's a collapsing bridge. Like all the cars right. just fell into the water
of course
and they died.
And really the only reason that he was good in fantasy is because he was getting rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, that was weird. That was a funky 3 weeks in the NFL universe or 4 weeks. Evan, thank you so much. And again, you have your own theme song that was curated specifically for you. It's called
fits you.
Fatal Fantasy from the Rights Free Library. So that just shows the respect we have for you.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Goodbye to Evan
Thanks,
Silva.
Evan.
The Big
Thanks,
Fish.
Big Fish.
Establish the run.
Adios.
You're the best.
Check out that website. It's elite, just like Silva.
His matchups column during the season.
Incredible read.
You gotta pay for it now, and it's worth paying for.
Turn it up in my headphones.
So that's like an epic column.
Oh, I like this.
Can't you like picture Sessler in like a West Hollywood club
tonight,
sweating heavily, dancing his ass off?
He doesn't even have to change. Like usually, you'd have to change out of your work clothes, but he's ready. He's there.
Mark, your new shirt today. I've waited a long time, and now it's the end of the show. Unbelievable, bringing in this beautiful.
It's just a new shirt.
Oh. And you didn't even roll up the sleeves, dad style. You got your. I think it's because you're showing respect for the extravaganza.
I wanted to let you know because I think you were questioning my.
Did I question it, Greg?
On the last show, there seemed to be some question whether or not, because I did my hand motion thing. And I'm trying to show you that I did care about this episode very much.
Well, no, you are like, you're a multi-talented guy. You can do fantasy. You can do reality. Uh-huh. You can do football. You can do basketball.
I can do basketball if needed. I mean, I think you'd have to go pretty deep down the roster for that need.
You've done it. You've proven yourself.
Here we go.
Whoops. Let's go again, Graver. You can do football. You can do basketball.
All right.
Football is completely different than basketball.
Still late. I support you, Mark.
Thank you.
I
love you also.
I sometimes don't wear like new clothing to wear on the show just because I just don't want to deal with Dan's comments.
Right. You're going to go through the like the verbal car wash on some
I feel
level.
Like you guys are so self-conscious about your clothing. It's weird. We're like not, I don't even like I don't say anything negative or critical.
I'm not conscious
I just
of it all
point out
until
that
you
new.
Talk
Wait
about
a minute.
It.
Back the truck up just a
all
few
I
feet.
Say is like, "Oh, new shirt."
No,
and
no,
then
no,
at the
like,
waterfall of self-doubt and I'm like, "What did I do?"
No, actually like I wasn't even thinking about it, but you came in and it wasn't just, "Hey, nice new shirt." It was like you stood there for 4 or 5 minutes purring at me.
Okay.
Well, that's
again,
not what your narrative or your description is not accurate.
I said, "Whoa, Mark."
I liked that, and I was not upset with your reaction. But then it was like, I think that sometimes you, to the listener, try to aim your suggest that your intentions are one thing, and when you're in the room, you can feel that
it
might be tilted a little bit differently.
You know what? If you guys are not wearing new shirts,
don't you guys us?
Because you don't want me to notice and comment positively on your new shirts. Like that's a weird thing. That's on you guys. That's a YP.
That is, I mean, we get how this show works. There's no point in arguing it. It just adds minutes to the runtime.
You know, you two are unbelievably annoying to hang out with most of the time.
Why did the quality of the Mark drops just go through the roof lately? We got some bangers.
I don't know.
All right. Before we say goodbye, I think one of the traditions of the show that we've done in past years had been sharing a bit of fantasy advice. Before you go into your drafts, you don't need to hear anything more from us. But we did ask Gravedigger and the gang to go through the archives and share a little Chris Wessling fantasy advice, and I think it will enrich all of us. Let's hear it.
You absolutely do not have to be unemotional in fantasy football. This is a hobby meant to be enjoyed.
Right.
So be emotional.
Right.
Draft
you
your guy.
That's true. I love that. Don't worry about the ADP. If you want to, and Wes talked about this a lot, if you want to root for a player on Sundays, go get him. It will make it even more enriching, especially if the guy you believe in like.
Well, definitely don't pick players that you don't like or that you totally distaste because it's it's conflicting energy. And I mean, I get that some people are in this to make a lot of money and you want to be as logical and strategic as possible. But there's a big chunk of people that just would like to have fun. And it helps a lot of people learn about football and like pick the players you enjoy.
Right. Don't worry about the average draft position because here's the thing. If you just pick the players that you do like, or even, sometimes from your team or the one that probably has almost exactly the same accuracy rate as if you just pick the conventional wisdom stuff. It's, the biggest thing here is chance. And yes, over time, you can gain certain strategic advantages. But in a one given league and one given season, it's mostly going to come down to luck.
And, luck is a thing. But we are 57 for 57 in these fantasy extravaganzas. We've knocked it out of the park. Thank you to all of our guests today who did such great work. Hit me with the music as we say goodbye here. Big Fish Evan Silva, Mike Florio, Marcus Grant, Matt Harmon, Roto Pat, Patrick Daugherty, all awesome guests. Best of luck to all of you in your fantasy drafts. Kill it, have fun, be merry, and don't drink. Drink after the draft, not before. Till Thursday, heed the call.
And now an update on free agent ticket sales rep Rhonda Fontaine. Our last look at this individual came during our fantasy breakout in 2018. Shortly after the heavy drinking Fontaine was cut loose by the Packers sales department following a public meltdown triggered by her breakup with on-again, off-again boyfriend William Franks. As you'll recall, Fontaine took a Greyhound bus to Chicago to live with her sister, Patsy Bummels. Fontaine told Bummels that she had a bead on a well-paid role with the Bears ticket office, but that was a fib. Instead, Fontaine spent long hours day drinking in her sister's basement and mouthing off to Patsy's husband, 5'4", Gordon Bummels, who eventually kicked Rhonda out of the house after she threw a Keurig coffee maker through a kitchen window during a Christmas Eve drunk. Out of moves, Fontaine scanned bulletin boards at the University of Chicago for shared rides and wound up catching a car to Bloomington, Indiana in January of 2019, where she quickly shacked up with a bartender named Big Boy. Life seemed to be on the up and up with Fontaine lowering her drinking and tapping the brakes on her heavy marijuana usage. Fontaine and Big Boy seemed to thrive during Corona. Fontaine gifted the 365-pound Big Boy with a Peloton bicycle, which they both used to lower their body fat percentages. Rhonda even penned a 4-page handwritten letter to Patsy and Gordon Bummels, taking full accountability for her misdeeds in 2018. She began to research the concept of moving to Indianapolis with Big Boy to take a $35,000-a-year job with the Colts season ticket department. However, it was then discovered by the Monroe County Sheriff's Department that Fontaine had hired a pair of husky teen boys to steal the Peloton bike from the garage of a neighbor up the street. Said neighbor, Mindy Charlemagne, chose to press charges, which sent Fontaine on the run. Rhonda's last known moves were 1, using Big Boy's U.S. Bancorp debit card to withdraw $280, 2, catching a Peter Pan bus line to Fort Worth, Texas, 3, using said debit card to pay for a $390 tab at Tumbleweed Sports Bar in Fort Worth, 4, employing the same debit card to purchase 2 cases of Carlo Rossi brand Merlot, 5, reportedly getting into a fistfight with a local librarian named Tina Mitz outside the Fort Worth Public Library, and then 6, completely going off-grid. My advice to fantasy owners, Rhonda Fontaine is a high-risk, high-reward prospect who will not last beyond round 11 in 12-team drafts. My advice to fantasy owners, Rhonda Fontaine is a high-risk, high-reward prospect who will not last beyond round 11 in 12-team drafts. Dynasty participants should consider her as soon as round 9. You heard it here first.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.